Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I want to welcome everybody. My name is Linda. I'm your host today. We are coming at you from Oceanside, California. Another perfect autumn day here. Absolutely amazing. It's not quite 80. It's like really pretty. Blue skies, gentle ocean breeze. I know, don't hate. But that's all we got going here, because whether you hear what I have for you on the draconian gun laws that are sitting on Moonbeam Brown's desk today. Welcome, Bill, Lonnie, Rod, everyone that's listening. Let's pray that the trolls don't come in, because I will kick them out, and I'll call them out, too, for who they are. What do you think of us having 386,000 foreign troops on our soil? Oh, my God, I haven't seen that one, Bill. I don't know if you can put a link in and put it at Patriot Families. Got the troll gun. Love it. Okay. So we are brought to us by PatriotFamilies.com. That's www.PatriotFamiliesWithAYS.com. Great site. It's all updated. We're raring to go. And what I was telling Lonnie earlier, Bill, is I fixed your chat room page situation when it shows up for the people who are actually guests and they're looking at everything. It doesn't say Patriot Family Chat anymore, so that's kind of nice. I put it under recurring, so I know you guys haven't messed around with Blog Talk yet. The best time to go in there is like probably, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a day that no one's doing a show, or, before anyone gets in there, and just start learning stuff. BTR is pretty cool. You can ask them questions and go that way. And you can also take a little bit of training there. I know, definitely know that Yola has taught me a lot of things. So she's really good. If you have her email, she can try to help you. Again, the best way, like when Lonnie called me, that was cool, because then I can walk you through it. But now that you know what it looks like, and you shouldn't be afraid of it, definitely just kind of get in there. And even though you don't have a show scheduled, you can always go in and change stuff that you need to do. So, hey, FT. So thanks so much, Lonnie. But anyway, we're hoping Bill gets back. He's probably trying to find sound. What I want to start with today, I got a lot of junk here, so I'm going to do, there's so much going on in our country. I'm hoping that Bill will put in Patriot Family's site that some links to what he was talking about earlier, that there's that many troops on our soil. If that's true, we got a lot of stuff to worry about. This is what happened. Basically, somebody emailed me, there he is. We got Bill back again. Somebody emailed me a YouTube video from Barbara Boxer's website, her official senatorial website. Before it's news. Okay, thanks, Bill. If maybe you can post it on my wall at Facebook for later. But anyway, so here's Senator Boxer. She's ranting and raving about clean energy, global climate change, the seas are rising, the carbon pollution, all this nonsense. And if you go to her website, you'll see all this nonsense. I don't think I kept it in my emails, but nonetheless, she's talking about, she says in her stupid elitist voice, and I'll read you what my friend Chris Meinson. Chris is the one who wrote the book on the church infiltration, Bill, that I sent you, or I gave you in person when we were at Delaney. She's pretty savvy. Chris is really good, and she's also one of the people who fights Agenda 21 out here with me, and Common Core and all the rest. So Boxer's ranting and raving and going, well, anybody who's a global climate change denier is just asleep. You have to be asleep to not believe this. Anyway, so here's what I wrote to this woman on her official site. Dear Senator Boxer, I just witnessed your speech on the Keystone Pipeline and was astonished at your remarks on carbon pollution and climate change. Where do you get your information from? Perhaps someone like Maurice Strong? The entire planet is made up of carbon. Humans are carbon-based. Carbon dioxide, CO2, is what we exhale. Global warming and carbon pollution are the biggest lie, since Hitler said it's all the Jews' fault. These alternative clean energy ideas do not work, and they are very expensive. The EPA is an evil entity and should be defunded, then abolished. As for the people in California agreeing with you, yes, many will, because they are just as brainwashed and asleep as you are. There will come a time when I will be able to get the heck out of this communist state. Until then, I will fight against people like you forever. So then, my friend, I sent this to my friend Chris, who sent me the original article and YouTube. She goes, wow, gutsy lady, meaning me. Wonder what happened to Dingbat as a child. The reason she called her Dingbat is because if the guy who played Archie Bunker was still alive and that show was on the air, he would have called Boxer a dingbat. I'm guessing she was born into a family with money who sent her to private school where she was molded to believe the lies, and the whole family supports the misguided Marxian viewpoint. She certainly has no ability for free thought. I don't know a soul who can stand this woman. She's a real tragedy for all eternity. That was my friend Chris. Yeah, you know what, Rod, as far as making points with that woman, I do not care. I hate these people. I can't help it. They are insane. They are out for their new world order, and I'm not going to stand by and let them get away with it. These people are on our dime. They are propagating stuff against us. They're trying to take our guns away. They've got foreign troops on our soil. They've got MRAPs all over the place. They've been shuttling them for the last year and a half that I know of on trains from one end of this country to the other and all over the place. They've got FEMA camps. They've got, there was one I can't even remember. There was, I think I reposted it on Facebook, showing the recruitment of new people for, you know, military training and internment camp training for the military. Oh, that's the brown shirts. Absolutely. I've got 276. Not sure who it is. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Linda.
Oh, is this Lonnie?
This is Chuck.
Oh, Chuck, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Glad you're here. So that's how you kind of got it.
Yeah, I just thought I'd call and listen in.
Okay.
I can't pick you guys up on my iPad.
Okay. I'm going to... Bill says 30,000 scientists say suing Al Gore, polar ice caps increased 60% in 1 year. I know. Look, I was dealing with this like 2 or 3 years ago when I heard Lord Monckton do his whole speech. Bill says plants would be oversized because they sure. I mean, it's unbelievable what goes on with these people. I want to switch a little bit just for a minute, and I'm going to go to the headlines that are all over the map on my emails today. There's just too much to deal with. This is what's going on in California, and not even talking about the idiotic Moonbeam Brown signing into law. I'll get to that later about the abortion clinics here. And anyone who wants to perform these abortions does not have to be a medical doctor. Yeah, he did that. So this
is serious.
Oh no, I'm serious. Now this is AB. It's called Assembly Bill 170 as amended, assault weapons and .50 BMG rifles. I don't know what that is. Yeah, we need more than a vacuum cleaner, and I think the correct medical term is an enema. However, so it says, this is where AB 170, existing law subject to exceptions generally prohibits the possession of an assault weapon. Oh, my God. Or everything's an assault weapon. My 9's an assault weapon. What the hell do you think it's designed for? Or a 50 caliber BMG rifle as defined. Violation of these prohibitions is a criminal offense. Existing law requires a person who wishes to acquire an assault weapon or a 50 caliber rifle to obtain a permit from the Department of Justice. Existing law defines person as an individual or a partnership or a corporation, a limited liability company, an association, or any other group or entity, regardless of how it was created, for these permit purposes and other purposes related to the regulation of assault weapons and 50 caliber rifles. Existing law requires a permit to possess a machine gun. Of course it does. Violation of these provisions is a criminal offense. Now, this new bill would limit person to an individual for those permit purposes for assault weapons, 50 caliber rifles, and machine guns, and other purposes related to the regulation. Hang on a second. Chad says, Bill's being funny in the chat room. Let me, Governor Brown's an idiot. You guys are going to flip when you see all this. These are all the bills on his desk. It's talking about, okay, the bill would accept application of that definition from provisions that generally prohibit the manufacture, distribution, transportation, importation, keeping for sale, offering for sale, exposing for sale, giving or lending of an assault weapon or 50 caliber rifle, and from provisions imposing specified sentencing enhancements related to violation of law relating to assault weapon. Bill would make additional conforming changes, including changes relating to annual inspections for security, and safe storage purposes of certain permittees possessing assault weapons or the 50 caliber rifle as specified. By changing provisions of law regulating acquisition of assault weapons and 50 cal, the violation of which is a crime, the bill would impose a state-mandated local program, which I don't understand. The California Constitution requires the state to reimburse local agencies and school districts for certain costs mandated by the state. Statutory provisions establish procedures for making that reimbursement. I'm completely confused, but that's all right. This is legal ease in here. This bill would provide that no reimbursement is required by this act for a specified reason. Now, that's just one of the bills. Now, this other one is called AB 500. This is another gun one, as amended, firearms. Existing law requires the Department of Justice, upon submission of firearm purchaser information, to examine its records to determine if the purchaser is prohibited from possessing, receiving, owning, or purchasing a firearm. The existing law prohibits the delivery of a firearm within 10 days of the application to purchase, or after notice by the department within 10 days of the submission of the department of any corrections to the applications to purchase, or within 10 days of the submission of the Department of Specified Fee. The existing law generally requires firearms transactions to be completed through a licensed firearms dealer, or they crossed out dealers, so apparently it's been amended. If a dealer cannot legally deliver a firearm, existing law requires the dealer to return the firearm to the transfer, seller, or person loaning the firearm, which makes no sense to me, but that's okay. This bill would require the department to immediately notify the dealer to delay the transfer of a firearm to a purchaser. Okay, so it sounds like, purchaser, which would be a person. If the records of the department or specified records available to the department indicate that the purchaser has been taken into custody and placed in a facility for mental health treatment, this is where they're going to get us, or evaluation, that he or she has been arrested for or charged with a crime, or that the purchaser, the person, is attempting to purchase more than one firearm within a 30-day period, and the department is unable to ascertain whether the purchaser is ineligible to possess, receive, own, or purchase the firearm as a result of the determination of the purchaser's mental health, the final disposition of the arrest or criminal charge, or whether the person is ineligible to purchase the firearm because he or she is attempting to purchase more than one firearm within a 30-day period prior to the conclusion of the 10-day waiting period. If the department is unable to ascertain the final disposition of the arrest or criminal charge, the outcome of the mental health treatment or evaluation, or whether the purchaser, the person, is ineligible to purchase the firearm because he or she is attempting to purchase more than one firearm within a 30-day period, within 30 days of the dealer's submission of purchaser's information, the bill, this law, would require the department to notify the firearms dealer and would authorize the dealer then to immediately transfer the firearm to the purchaser. I'm confused already. The bill would also enact similar provisions, additionally requiring, among other things, the dealer and the purchaser to sign the register or record of electronic transfer to take effect if AB 538 is enacted and amend Section 288-160 of the Penal Code. Unbelievable. Then it goes, existing law requires firearm purchasers to present the dealer with clear evidence of the person's identity, that's your driver's license, your age, and requires the dealer to make permanent record of the transaction. Permanent record. Hey, Ron, welcome everyone. Existing law requires the dealer to transmit the record of applicant information to the Department of Justice by electronic or telephonic transfer. Commencing January 1, 2015, this bill would also require a dealer to notify the department that the person in the application process to purchase actually took possession of the firearm as specified. It's crazy. Under existing law, certain persons are prohibited from owning or possessing a firearm, including persons convicted of certain violent offenses and persons who have been adjudicated as having a mental disorder, among others. This bill would prohibit a person who is residing with someone, here you go, who is residing with someone who is prohibited by state or federal law from possessing a firearm, from keeping a firearm at that residence unless the firearm is either kept within a locked container, locked gun safe, locked trunk, locked with a locking device, disabled by a firearm safety device, or carried on the person. The bill would make a violation of this provision a misdemeanor. By creating a new crime, this bill would impose a state-mandated local program. If that's not enough, you're going to wait to see the other ones. So it says it would incorporate additional changes to section of the Penal Code. That's got AB 539. There's a whole bunch of them. SB 53, you're going to love that one. In addition, changes to section of the Penal Code, SB 299 to take effect if one or more of those bills are chaptered. And this bill is chaptered last. So let's go through them. These are real quick now. These are all on his desk. AB 187 levies 10% tax on all ammo to benefit crime prevention programs. SB 53, which is mentioned in the other evil one, requires a background check for all ammunition purchases and licenses for all sellers of ammunition. Isn't that cute? SB 374 bans all semi-automatic rifles with detachable magazines, which they have, and retroactively requires ownership records for all guns. Oh, God. Here's another one. SB 47 prohibits so-called bullet buttons, and which I have on my 9, other devices used to circumvent the state's assault weapon ban and allow for fast reloading. SB 48 creates database to track all ammunition purchases and makes it illegal to make your own high-capacity magazines. That is if you're rich enough to have a replicator and you can print the damn thing. AB 711, you're going to love this one. AB 711 bans lead ammunition for hunting in the state of California. Oh, my God. So that's – I'm coming to Indiana sooner than you think, Bill. That's where I'm going. All right. I want to go really quickly. Yeah, Ron's correct. That's what I said. I mean, they're all assault weapons. They're designed to kill and maim. What the hell do you think they were designed for? Tiddlywinks? Idiots. Idiots. Okay, I'm going to pick up Ron. Hey, Ron, you're on the air. How you doing?
Oh, not bad. Sorry, the stupid player kept cutting out.
What do you think of?
Hey,
yeah, this is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, how you doing, man?
All right, man, how are you, bud?
I'm doing all right, other than listening to these idiots flailing about like the mental midgets that they are.
Oh my God!
It seems like Groundhog Day. We've been talking about this same stuff for 3 years, ain't we, bud?
The thing is, and that's what I put in the chat room. There's one weapon that's used in every intentional murder in recorded history. That's a human being.
Exactly.
Okay, the tools or the method they use to go about murdering people
makes no difference.
It is nonsensical. It doesn't matter. Okay, Hitler used ovens and gas and
Cyclone B. Yeah, absolutely.
Crying out loud.
What's it going to be like when RS gets access to everybody's medical records through Obamacare and starts confiscating everybody's weapons because they've been to a counselor over depression or something?
Well, now let me tell you something, and this goes back a ways. You go back to the 96 weapons ban under Clinton. In 2005, George Bush Jr. signed into law a new weapons bill, which was only one paragraph long. And everybody said, oh, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that it made access by law enforcement to your medical records lawful. And it has language in it that reverts back to the 96 gun ban. So what that means is a law enforcement officer that stops you in a routine traffic stop, asks if you have any guns in the car, you say yes, he can pull your medical records, and if there's anything in there they don't like, they can confiscate your weapon on the spot, you can file an appeal, and you've got 2 years for the appeal.
Yep.
So that was in 2005, and guess who supported that, by the way? The National Rifle Association.
Oh, my God. Well,
this is
ones that I was, all this stuff that I was reading to you, these are all brand new ones, and they're sitting on his desk waiting to be either signed or vetoed. And everybody here that's halfway sane has been writing, emailing, signing petitions, calling. I've done it. I've done it all week, saying, please veto this mess. This is horrible. Of course, you know, look, I mean, what he did, everything that he signs lately, I mean, he's signing stuff into law, people, that allows
gone through Congress.
Well, not only that, but I mean, all these abortion mills and Planned Parenthood places right here in California for our state. Now, because doctors are leaving the profession in droves because of Obamacare, and so now he says, oh, well, we can just certify these people if they have some, you know, like nurses and stuff, and they can do the abortions. We don't have to have medical doctors.
If a woman is stupid enough to go to somebody, an orderly or whatever,
right,
to have abortion, my God.
Listen to me. Look. I mean, if you want to argue Roe v. Wade, I mean, you have just thrown that out to the window. The whole idea was to eliminate back deal, you know, coat hanger abortions. So
and that was nonsensical. And the thing,
right.
my point is, you know, I am totally pro-choice. Where I draw the line is when a woman wants me to wants society or government to pass a law making it okay for her to involve a third party in the murder of her unborn child. That's where I draw the line. Hey, you want to have an abortion? Go in the bathroom and do what you got to do. But that's on you and nobody else. But the moment you demand that I allow someone else to do the deed for you because it's more expedient or safer, hey, you know, you're the one making this choice, not me. Don't expect me to authorize someone else to do what you can't do yourself without going to jail.
Oh, I know. It's horrible. I'm going to do a real quick rundown of some of these headlines. Okay, I just got this one before we went on. It says, Speaker of the House, Crybaby Boehner, announced that the House of Representatives will take up the vote to defund Obamacare on Friday. So that was number one.
Tammy Faye Boehner?
Exactly. Okay, so that was one. Let me see what else we got here. Oh, this one. I hope you guys have seen this on Facebook. I guess they're going to have one hell of a convoy going to D.C. and the truckers are trying to shut down D.C. and, you know, asking us to not go to the banks, not buy food, not buy gas on those days.
What they need to do is fill every one of those trailers full of patriots.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else, but let's not.
No, well, you know, with card tables and you know, some beverages and everybody just kick back, and when they get there, open the doors and everybody pile out.
That would be amazing. So now you guys heard this: Barack Obama waves ban on arming terrorists, and I believe that for 2 days in a row, Glenn Beck has publicly come out and called for his impeachment because of it. citing treason, not war crimes, but treason, because, I mean, the guy, he's got plenty of witnesses. All you need is two. It's just unbelievable what's going on. I can't believe what's happening in our country.
Well, did you see Fox News had a commercial-free interview with Bashar Assad just a few minutes ago here at the house?
Okay, I haven't seen any
Dennis
news
Kucinich
for a couple hours.
Dennis Kucinich and Greg Palcott sat down and interviewed him.
Okay, I didn't catch that. I'm sorry, I haven't checked these the news for the last 2 or 3 hours because I was busy kind of prepping the show and doing other things. But I just that one that you sent me, Ron, it was the Canadian billionaire, and it was I wish I could have uploaded it, but I had no way of organizing it.
Did
today.
You not get the email I sent to you
yes,
with the link?
Yes. Okay. I have the link, but I didn't. When I got it, it was after I came home from working out, and I didn't have time to do it. So
no worries.
What I'm going to try to do is trying to get this YouTube into one of my folders, and then I can, you know, convert it that way. But nonetheless, this was the Canadian billionaire predicts the end of the U.S. dollar as world reserve currency, and it was like the most amazing. I think it was, what, 7 or so minutes, maybe longer? Oh, my gosh. I've got to get this in our thing for next week or whatever. Go ahead.
I can tell you another way to do it.
Okay.
That is to bring it up on your computer.
Right.
Play, you know, click play. If there's an ad, let it get past the ad. And then take the microphone from your headset and put it up to your speaker and play it that way. I've done it that way a couple of times just out of necessity.
Up to my own speakers?
Yeah, on your computer. Let it play across your speakers.
Okay. Wow.
And
it won't feedback, no?
Shouldn't.
Okay.
As long as you don't get the mic too damn close, but
okay,
I
know.
That link that I sent you, there's a box on that page. If you just cut and paste the YouTube video link out of your browser. Box and hit go, it'll convert it automatically, and then you can click save file and save it. That way you don't have to download a bunch of software and a bunch of other garbage.
Oh, I know. I mean, every time I do what we were trying to do, the one that you gave me, the freeloader one, I had that one, and I got a Ron Paul deal, and then I must not have fixed the extensions very well. You know, those boxes I didn't uncheck right?
Right.
Then I had some problems with my computer, so... That's why I didn't want to play with it. So, but I'll use the link. Yeah, that might work really well.
Well, yeah, that other one. That's the nice thing about that other link is you don't have to download anything but the file when it's done converting.
Okay. So right. So here's the deal. Now here's what we've been talking about. You talk about it. I've been reading about it. The gentleman was speaking on it, and the Canadian guy was talking about how this got led up to, and how the petrodollar was, you know, the almighty, and everybody, including Japan and China right now, and Iran, dumping the dollar. They're like dumping it like crazy. They're spending it like crazy. And you're right, it's going to come here. And I mean, this is going to be a mess. So to give you guys a little bit go ahead and talk about it for a second.
Well, I was going to say, like I said, I mean, even if only a portion of those dollars come back to the U.S., you're talking about a doubling of the amount of dollars in our economy in a very short period of time. That's never good.
You know, it's going to create the Weimar effect because they're just printing. It would be like printing it and then, you know, helicopter Ben throwing it out on the street because that's what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, Ben just says, presumably if you're talking about Americans who are holding American dollars in the United States, you know, this flood of dollars. The only impact it would possibly have is it would make imports from other countries more expensive.
It's such a
flippant attitude.
He's such a schmendrick because, look, not only
they're convinced
like you said,
that they have all the answers.
Yeah, and then I just heard today on the radio that he was telling the American people and the Congress and everybody else. He says, "Well, I've got to keep flooding more money into the system, because otherwise it's going to collapse. He says, I'm not doing enough.
Well, no shit. And why do you think that is, folks? We have to create more debt. This is what I've been talking about infinitum. And the fact of the matter is that the only way this system continues to function is if the amount of debt owed the bank continues to expand. Now, the bank doesn't care whether that debt is based on production, you know, productive activities, or simply just creating money out of thin air. This is exactly what people were talking about, China and the ghost cities, right? The way China does it is they build a city like New York, but there's nobody that lives there. But what does it matter? Because it's growth. That's how inane and insane, how absolutely ignorantly blind this ideology is. It completely relies on the system to continue growing, with or without productive efforts, with or without any beneficial thing coming from it.
You know, when we're talking about, this is going back a little bit because I'm still reading Jekyll Island, but talking about people like Lenin and the ones who helped fund it, which would be the banksters and these roundtable groups, as they call them. And there's many people involved. I believe Rockefeller was involved as well. Just one of several, many. And it says, these men are incapable of genuine patriotism, which I mentioned yesterday. They think of themselves not as citizens of any particular country, but as citizens of the world. They can do business just as easily with a bloodthirsty dictatorship as with any other government, especially since they are assured by the transfer mechanism that the American taxpayer is going to make good on the deal. When David Rockefeller was asked about the propriety of providing funding for Marxist and communist countries, which are openly hostile to the United States, he responded, I don't think an international bank such as ours ought to try to set itself as a judge about what kind of government a country wishes to have.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to judge morality or character. As long as they can pay the debt, we don't care. And, you know, if you likened our monetary system to a patient at a hospital.
Right. Okay? Oh, God.
At the current time, the patient is clinically dead. There's no brain activity.
Honey, it's DOA.
There's no brain
and an
activity,
ambulance.
And they've got... And they've got this patient hooked up to a heart-lung machine. Jeez. And they're providing
artificial
means of pumping the heart and artificial means of respirating the lungs to keep the blood circulating. But that's really all there is.
The blood is
circulating through the body, but the body's dead.
That's it.
I know. And what they're trying to do, literally trying to do, is reach singularity and merge the machine with the humans on this deal. I mean,
We have not yet reached critical mass, but you know, in retrospect, in looking at the system, critical mass is a kind of a misnomer. You're never going to reach an absolute critical mass, but there is a proverbial tipping point where it's no longer sustainable.
Oh, my God.
And we're there. We're at equilibrium right now.
I know.
Okay,
it's sick.
So we're teetering, and the balance, the scale is starting to tip. And, you know, equilibrium is going to be broken, and it's going to be broken the wrong way.
I know.
On the bad side of things. And it's going to be bad not just for us, but people globally as well.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But they're going to recover much quicker than we will. Because, in the words of Jeremiah Wright, America's chickens are going to come home to roost.
Oh, I know. Well, that part that I read to you, what got G. Edward on it was, really got stuck in his craw, was that the country wished to have this type of, he says, wishes to have. He was talking about Angola, where the Marxist dictatorship was forced upon the people with Cuban soldiers and Soviet weapons. Isn't that special? I mean, it just goes on and on and on, talking about these things that they've done.
I've got to ask if anybody out there has seen the movie World War Z. Yeah.
No, heard about it.
Okay. It's about a zombie apocalypse, okay? And it happens very rapidly. And of course, the lead character, Brad Pitt, his character is an investigator for the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. He's trying to figure out how this thing got started, where it got started at. They're trying to stop this spread, this contagion. But what I found interesting was at the end of the film. At the end of the film, just as they begin to roll the credits, they tell you changes are coming, and they're going to come quickly. If you're able to fight, fight, but be kind to one another. Humanity wins in the end.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when we talk about the situation of, well, now so many of these that we kind of suspect are false flags. Oh, here we go. I got to address this.
Yeah, no, I don't even worry about it.
Okay. Yeah, sustainability. Beasley, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. It's evil. It's the United Nations, which should be abolished.
Well, that's what they call it, is sustainability. Bill was saying
yeah, I know.
It should be called
it's garbage.
Unsustainable.
You know what? That's fine, Brown. I don't care. Anyway.
So anyway, back on topic.
Back on topic. Yeah, it's the things that are going on. What happened here was, getting into the meat of it, there was somebody named Thomas Theobald, vice president of Citicorp, another lovely bankster, was asked in 1981 about his bank's loans to Poland. Was he embarrassed by making loans to a communist country, especially following the regime's brutal repression of free trade unions? And he said, not at all. Who knows which political system works? He replied, the only test we care about is whether they can pay their bills. What he meant, of course, was, that can the American taxpayer pay Poland's bills? And this is what happens. I mean, this, because they put everybody on the hook for, you know what I mean? They put everybody on whatever country they want to do on the hook for everything.
No, but they're absolutely correct with that statement. He's absolutely correct with that statement. And if you go back to the 30s under Roosevelt, okay, you will hear Louis McFadden explaining this exact scenario happening where an Iowa corn farmer will be in hock to an Irish whiskey distiller because the shipment is done through the Federal Reserve System, and therefore his tax dollars are going to pay to subsidize the shipment of Irish whiskey that sank in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, exactly.
But from what Griffin has talked, and I'm halfway through, and over again, whether it's funding wars, whether it's giving loans to people for whatever, for weapons, for commodities, farming, whatever, wheat. I mean, it's consistent that they will take the people of whatever country, their taxpayers are the ones who are going to be the guarantors of those loans every single time, and they don't care. It's the only ones who ever win in this whole deal are the banksters. And, of course,
that's
the Congress.
Well, that is the way the banking system is set up. You have to understand
that it
is designed to generate what are called streams of revenue. Okay? Plain and simple, streams of revenue. So there's a constant flow of revenue coming into the bank. And that's where they talk about the velocity of money.
Mm-hmm.
What you're seeing right now is small potatoes. Most people don't have even an inkling of a clue of the scope of the banking or monetary system and the monetary policy surrounding it. That's why, you know, Jefferson had warned about the banking system and the corporations that would grow up around it that would seize control of the government.
Right.
Is that not, ladies and gentlemen, what we are experiencing this very day? And, you know, again, we all realize it's not just the Obama administration.
Oh,
it's been every administration since before the Lincoln administration, for God's sakes. Obama happens to be the manager on duty during this particular shift, you know?
So, did you guys hear that Leo DiCaprio is going to play Wilson? Oh my God! Can you imagine how they're going to deify that schmuck?
You know that he would be a pretty good Wilson, but he's a little short for that role. I think Wilson was quite a bit taller,
and I think he's a hell of a lot better looking.
You know, the problem with the Wilsons of the world and the Abraham Lincolns of the world and the Henry Clays and the, you know, they were ideologues. They were fanatical ideologues, and they simply picked the wrong ideology. What they couldn't see, they saw in every act some kind of benevolence for the greater good, and they never once saw the deterioration, the detrimental effects, the unintended consequences, if you will, of those actions. They didn't think it through because they were so convinced of the correctness of their ideology.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, what I've gathered, especially when you talk about Teddy Roosevelt and the Wilsons and the Mandel House and everybody that was going on in that era, my God, it was unbelievable what House was involved in. When I read this book, especially with the manipulation of the Congress, the manipulation of the president, office of the presidency, and he had a hand in all this stuff. He was
He did. Look,
these guys, Cecil Rhodes, all of them.
These guys, these guys like Mandel House, they're no different than a CIA handler with some of these quote-unquote terror plots that they've foiled. You know what I mean? Because, you know, even though Wilson had a mind and he was the head of, what was it, Princeton University, I mean, the guy was no slouch. He wasn't uneducated, but he was terribly naive at the same time. And they used that naivete and they preyed upon that to manipulate him. And he bought it, hook, line, and sinker. It was not until after the fact that he said, oh my God, and he realized the error of his ways.
Sure.
As did Abraham Lincoln. Essentially the same damn thing that Wilson said, that I have unwittingly destroyed my country. Lincoln was so caught up and so focused, I believe, on his goal of preserving the Union, or transforming it, if you will, fundamentally transforming the Union into a British mercantilist system, that he couldn't see the forest for the trees. And he was blinded to the murderous damage and destruction that he was doing to this country. And the very psyche, the morality of the people. And the example that he was setting by his actions.
Yeah, I mean, what happened with Lincoln, I mean, it was weird because he was all gung-ho on preserving this, you know, union of corporation stuff. And then he had a change of heart and he started doing the greenbacks, and then God knows what happened. But
I think you're a little off on the his ideology was a preservation of the Union. And when he says preservation of the Union, he means that all of the states that were at that time states, by God, you can't leave and I've got total control over you.
Right.
Okay. And the idea of going to greenbacks was simply he didn't want the bankers acting as an intermediary. So you had the Bank Nationalization Act that nationalized banking and the creation of the greenback. It was a way for Lincoln himself, the president, to take control of the issuance of money, or currency, I should say, and suspend money. Oh, my God, you have got to read John Taylor of Caroline.
I've got to read that one you talked about, The Real Lincoln by DiLorenzo, too, because I've got to order it.
Oh, my God, you will be frothing at the mouth, I'm telling you. You'll be ready to go out and murder someone You will drive to Springfield, Illinois, dredge up his bones, douse them with lighter fluid, and set them on fire.
I want to put him back in the Ford Theater and shoot him again.
Oh, man. You know.
Look, no, I mean, because I think if what's going on with that is correct, and I guess that is part of history, that was it the banksters and the elitist bankers that killed him because he was printing and trying to circumvent them?
Well, I mean, you know, there is a lot of theory and conspiracy behind that. And you see, England was trying to gain influence wherever they could, the Bank of England, and they were actually helping the South. And, you know, when Lincoln went to borrow money to fund the Civil War, he was offered terms of 26% interest. And that really pissed him off.
Mm.
Because he knew he couldn't recoup that. So he got a hold of someone. I forget the gentleman's name now, but he was also a colonel like Mendel House. And his buddy looked it over and he says, well, why don't you just print the money? Congress has the authority within the Constitution to issue currency. Do so. And it'll be interest-free. So in that respect, he was absolutely correct. But the motive behind it, or the reason, the ends, you know, justifying the means, I completely disagree with. The means or the end, I agree with the means, the method he was using to do so, but I disagree with the agenda for doing it. The agenda wasn't to get the bankers out of control. The agenda was to force the southern states into submission by slaughtering some 600,000 plus.
Oh, my God. Yeah, 619.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, so I know you're probably reading all the chatter. What I'm learning is there's so much. The part that I was reading from, there's a chapter called The Best Enemy Money Can Buy, and then this particular portion is the transfusion mechanism, and they're talking about the Lend-Lease program, the determination of. There's just so much in here. It's hard to try to grasp it all because, you know, I'm trying to understand what they've done.
You know,
and
for
why.
Me, I'm, right. For me, it's easier than for others, I think, because I'm able to jump back and forth,
right?
Like a little toad, just hopping all over the place. And I can jump from one decade to another, from one century to another, and then. But I retain most of what I read, and so
right.
I'm able to make the connections.
Right.
But honestly, and I've told folks on all the shows, go back once you get a somewhat decent grasp of history.
Right.
Go back and start looking at the history of the United States from a monetary perspective. Go back and look at the first tariff acts and go read as much as you can about the various tariffs and excises and duties and ex posts that were imposed. Go read the banking history and you will begin to see everything unfold in a much clearer way.
Okay.
Than you can by simply reading, you know, about the Constitutional Convention. If you don't understand the background story behind the bank up in Philadelphia, the First National Bank, and then the First Bank of the United States, and the Second Bank of the United States, then there are huge gaps in your history and your understanding of history where it doesn't, you're missing some context there.
Right.
And that's the important part.
The one that I have to do, and I'm going to try to get it to Rod and everybody that I have stuff, emails for, and Bill and everybody here, and that's the one you sent me where you said it was the best darn explanation of why we are where we are at, and that was that whole deal on barristers and the bankruptcy of 1930 to 1930 through 1932, I believe it was, and subsequently
certainly.
The 1933. So I'm going to send that to everybody I have emails for, and if you all can hook up with each other, I got one, I got Lonnie's, I got Rod's, I got Bill's and yours, of course, but you have to see this because it's not, doesn't take long to read, and let me tell you, it lays it out amazingly. I actually copied some of those links and put it in a comment section of the Union Tribune. Union Tribune, because I was so fed up with these libtards, my head was ready to explode. I says, just food for thought, folks. Check this out. And I laid it on them. I can't take it anymore.
I get aghast. And you constantly hear people talking about a licensed attorney, okay? There's no such freaking thing as a license to practice law. There just is not. I'm sorry. You have a bar card, which means you have joined a fraternity, okay, at a group, a club, but that's not a license. It's not issued by any governmental agency. The thing that people have to understand when dealing with lawyers and attorneys, okay, is that the moment you hire a lawyer or an attorney, you have made a declaration that you are not mentally competent to handle your own affairs.
Exactly.
Okay, so I mean, there are so many things, but
so
when you,
even if you were accused of some heinous thing, you would want to go in pro per instead of trusting.
Well, you know,
clowns?
The funny thing is, under our current jurisprudence, if you are charged with a capital crime, you know that they cannot sentence you unless you are represented by an attorney.
Oh my God! Oh
they
wow!
They can't pass sentence. They will force you, they will absolutely force you to have representation. Whether or not you utilize that representation is inconsequential. It's window dressing. It's all for appearances.
Yeah.
And if you get a chance, you should watch the pilot of the new TV show that's on. I love it. It's called Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, I've seen the previews, and
It was on Monday night on, I think, NBC. If you've got, like, Comcast or On Demand, you can go back and find it. Fantastic. I need my distractions.
Okay, what time do they play? Because
It was like 8 or 9 o'clock.
I'll have to have Mom tape it because I'm doing Dancing with the Stars right now. Oh.
the pilot has already aired, so I don't know when the next show will be. But if you have, I have Comcast, and so I can go in on my screen and I can find TV shows, and I can go back and watch a TV show that's already aired. But it's great because it melds together some of my favorite topics. It melds together Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman from the time of the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
Current events and Revelations, the Apocalypse. It turns out that the Headless Horseman is the Death. He's one of the four horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Wow.
And he's riding a white horse. And if he happens to get his head back, that Ichabod Crane cut off, if he gets his head back, he becomes whole. And then Armageddon ensues and, mankind is done. So it's a really cool play on a lot of different things. I thought it was great. He's sitting there, and they've got him handcuffed and chained, and he said, is this an admiralty court? What is this? And they're putting him through a lie detector test, and he is going off on him about this oppression and tyranny, and I'm like,
God.
You see, it's just fantastic.
The only clip that I saw
put
that
your hands on your
well, the guy, the Ichabod dude, I guess the one that was supposed to cut off the headless horseman's head, and then he was talking to these people, and what caught my eye was when they talked about, they said something about talking to George, and he says, Washington, do you know him? I was laughing my ass off. That was great. I'm like, I gotta watch this.
You'll love it. It's corny, but I thought it was great. It pushed all the right buttons for me as far as attractive entertainment,
Okay,
all these great things. So.
A real quick thing and do a little bit of music at the end because I didn't want to kind of mess up our stuff. I want to thank you so much for calling in, and I'm glad we got rid of Beasley. That guy's such an agitator. Anyway, Bill, Ron, Rod Luke, Billy, FT, Lonnie, Doc, you guys are great. It's just amazing. There's this awesome music that I actually got in, and I could get it in because it was MP3, and it's by Tatiana, and it's about war, and it's, like, amazing. So I'm going to try to do this. Tomorrow is, of course, Terry Rowland. We must support her. She's amazing. Everybody send emails to her and condolences because she's got a six-month anniversary of losing her honey. So we love her, and I love everybody, and I want to play this. It's fabulous. Try to listen to the words, ladies and gentlemen.
Masters of war, you that build of God, you that build the dead land, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind death. I just want you to know I can see through your mask. You that never done nothing but built to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in his hand and you hide from his eyes and you turn and run by. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire. Then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion as young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can never be heard. Fear to bring children into the world. Lord, threaten my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. Much do I know to talk out of turn. You might say that I'm young, you might say I'm unlearned, but there's one thing I know, though I'm younger than you, that even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? And I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I will follow your casket on a pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you're lowered down into your deathbed, and I'll stand over your grave till I'm sure that.
Awesome one, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks, and we'll see you tomorrow for Terry's show. You guys have a great evening. Love all of you. Good night.
Good night. God bless.
God bless.